The next topic that we're going to cover, the next set of Maamar Kamos, the idea of the Malkus that the Mishnah speaks about as a punishment for Edom, for May, that someone was a Ben Gerusha, Ben Chalutza, like I said, Amir Tashem, we should be able to cover in one day. We're going to try to run through things relatively quickly. It was timed like this, Baruch Hashem, perfectly, to have a short day with a short topic. And Amir Tashem, the next 2 days, we're going to get involved in some things that are actually a bit more involved and a bit more tricky, but incredibly, incredibly enjoyable. And today, we'll work through this sugya, which is also enjoyable, just a little bit quicker than the next coming thing. The Rishonim, as you learned over here in the Beis Medrash this morning, seem to have a debate about the case of that the Mishnah brings down when the Edom say that when the Edom on Abish Plonish, Ben Gerusha, Ben Chalutza, how literal that line in the Mishnah actually was. Right? In other words, we know the Mishnah tells you that the din that the Edom is only get Malkus for testifying that the guy was a Chalal, as he keeps speaking about the past number of days. The Mishnah also, the Maaseh, speaks about a person whose mother was a Chalutza, he was a Ben Chalutza. The Mishnah says, Maaseh, you get the Lokim, you get the Lok Arbaim, you get Malkus Arbaim for such a thing. But the Rishonim, as you know, debate, is that in fact actually going to be true? One thing we saw clearly over the past week was that the Malkus that the Mishnah speaks about is a key of Doraisa, right? We discussed the Gemara and the Beis. Amidbeis is the Malkus, a kiyum of the Hazama is the Malkus, a punishment that you're getting because you violate Lo Sana Beracha, Shakir, etc. The bottom line is, we're dealing with Malkus on a Doraisa kind of a level. Is that true when it comes to the person who's a Ben Chalutza? So as you know, two of the major Rishonim, the Ritva and the Ramban, were both of the opinion, just make sure we got the ABC, the Ritva and Ramban Shita was that the Malkus spoken about when you're dealing with a Ben Chalutza is the Rabbanan, or they're not 100% clear, maybe not even true, they're not entirely bar, whether or not you're dealing with no punishment at all, whether or not it is a Hazama, the Rabbanan. But the bottom line is, both the Ritva and the Ramban tell us over here, that you do not get Malkus for Hazama Midaraita when you testify that somebody was a Ben Chalutza, since the is of a Chalutza to marry a Kohen is only Midarabbanan. At best, the person who is born to such a union is a Chalal Midarabbanan, and the Ritva and the Ramban have their opinion that kind of Hazam, if you get caught testifying that someone was a Chalal Midarabbanan, that is not going to warrant a response that the rights of the Edom Zomim do not become Zomim Midaraita. On the other hand, there are some Rishonim that say, again, I just gave you some of the basic sheets over here, namely the Muki Yosef and the Rambam, where there's a clear mashmos, clear mashmos that they argue on that Ritva and the Ramban. Again, the Ramban and the Ritva say it explicitly that there's no Daraita Malkus over here. The Ritva and the Ramban, the Rambam, the Muki Yosef and the Rambam are not as clear. Again, you notice the Diyuk, again, questions in a minute. I see the handle, so we'll hold off a couple of minutes here. As the Muki Yosef points out in the Aleph Amid Aleph, again, if you don't get it quick, we'll be done with this in a second. Ben Chalutza, the Muki Yosef writes, is a Chalal Midrabbanan. Now, there's a very significant Diyuk over there in that Lashon that is a Chalal Midrabbanan. The Mashmos is, with the virtue of the fact he doesn't say anything more than that he's explaining what a Ben Chalutza is. A Ben Chalutza is a Chalal Midrabbanan, but nothing more than that. The regular dinim, the flow of the Mishnah, is true according to the Muki Yosef. When the Mishnah says, you loke arbayim, so the way that the Muki Yosef explains what a Ben Chalutza is that, yes, a Ben Chalutza is a Chalal Midrabbanan, but that still fits into the halacha stated over here in this Mishnah, that Chalal Midrabbanan, if his Edom are caught to be Edom Zomim, they will get the Malkus Arbayim that's stated over here in the Mishnah. No questions asked. The Rambam has a similar diyuk, although the diyuk might be even stronger in the Rambam. The Rambam, when he quotes the din over here in the Mishnah, just read it through quickly. Edom she'idu al echav yirshi'u rosh resha she'ein balu malkus v'lo misa v'lo chiyuv mamon. If you had Edom who testified about somebody and they made him guilty of something that doesn't have Malkus, Misa, or Mamon, v'acharikach puzmo harayel alok, and then it becomes they get the Malkus. Even though their plan was not to give him Malkus, they get Malkus. Kate said, what's the example? Either a coin to Chalo. They testify that a guy's a Chalo. And here the Rambam includes two things. The mother got chalitza in a makom ploni, beyom ploni, behuzmu harehein logan. They are going to get malchus. Now, without reading the rest of the Rambam, the Rambam points out at the end, but just to read it clearly, the Rambam says at the very end, Devarim Einu Mipi HaKabbalah, there's a tradition, this is our Masoret in Torah Shebaal Peh, that you get Malkus. The Rambam does clearly mention the case of a Ben Chalutza. Had the Rambam thought that the Ben Chalutza did not, or the Edom Zomim Iman Ben Chalutza, would not get the Malkus that the Mishnah speaks about, the Rambam just wouldn't have stuck that into the Halacha. In other words, the Mishnah, right, if you take the Diyuk of the Ritzva, the Mishnah, when Chazal is speaking, sometimes Chazal is speaking expressions. Ben Gush and Ben Chalutza come together. So that, and the Ritzva, in fact, points out, there is a pattern that exists in a number of Mishnayos and Shas where Ben Chalutza gets lumped together with Ben Gerusha, despite the fact that the Dinim spoke about in the various Mishnayos don't actually apply. The Rambam, you certainly can't say that. The Rambam is writing, telling you a halach over here. Why does the Rambam say that if you testify about Ben Chalutza, you get Malkus? Because the Rambam thinks you do get Malkus as an aid of Zomim. So once again, we are left with a machlokes over here amongst the Rishonim. Once again, we want to try to find out our classic question. Once again, for Dov, whenever you have Machlokes Rishonim, question number one is, you see your job over here so far, beginning of every Shiur, is what? We always want to know, what is of? There you go. What is the underlying argument? What's the debate? What's the Yisod of Machlokes over here? What's going on? So the truth of the matter is, in this particular case, some of the Achronim helped us out a little bit, and this is all just to get ourselves a rolling so we can have the Iker parts of what we want to try to focus on today. In the form of the Kiva Ega and the Arach Laner over here, both point out a question, and the question very clearly provides us with at least half of the equation in terms of what some of the Rishonim are going to be learning in this sugya over here. Again, let's run through the Kiva Ega and Arach Laner inside, and then we'll start to move. Says the Kiva Ega, Masnisin, Shuben Gerushim, and Chalutza, Kosov HaRitzva, and we took editorial license to leave out the comments of the Ritzva, because you all learned that just a couple of minutes ago. Says the Kiva Ega, Ledaiti HaAniya, in my humble opinion, Kosherly, that what the Ritzva says is a problem for me, I do not understand. The Mabakat, the Pasul, Rak, Midrabban. Why does it matter that the child over here, the person, is only a chalal dirabanan, and then the Edom Zomim get caught and all that, but mikomakum, nevertheless, ha'iduso mo'il she'yifsalo so ha'bezin midrabanan. The Edom had its effect, it was ho'il, it was mo'il, but it had an effect that they passed all this child midrabanan, v'shayet be'losana bere'acha eid shav, and you should, in theory, still be able to apply the pasuk of Losana Bereacha Eid Shav, because the bottom line is, no questions about it, these two Eidim did testify falsely about something in a Bezin. If you're going to ask a very simple question, did you say the truth or not, right, no one's going to argue with the fact that you did not say the truth in Bezin. The bottom line is the Eidim lied. Okay, and there's a very important point over here that Rabbi Akiva Eger is making. A lie, there's no chilek between a lie d'oraita and a lie d'rabbanan. If you didn't say the truth means that you said a sheker. Right? You said something wrong in a bezdin about somebody else. Yes, it's true that the outcome of that, the result of that, was only d'rabbanan. You hassled him on a d'rabbanan level. That's true. But the bottom line is, you said a sheker in the bezdin. Ask Rabbi Akiva Eger, so why doesn't that deserve a malchus midoraita for such a thing? You lied. Or as the Arach Laner points out with a slightly different twist, but I think it helps a little understand a little bit better what the idea is. He quotes again, Hiksha Ritva, Hachalutu Rak the Rabbanon, Velurotu Lasosa Rak Chalam the Rabbanon, Ve'ech Yilka Alzeh. The T-Rate, the Ritva answers, the Aga of Gerusha Nakat Chalutza, they only write Chalutza along with, parenthetical to, a Gerusha. But says the Arach Laner, written by Rabbi Yaakov Edlinger, La'aniyo Zaiti Yeshlam, and my humble opinion, you would say, I don't understand the problem. Kevadalka upon him after the Fimash Apostle Rabbanon Chalutza Lakoi. Since right now, we're holding post at the Gezeirah of Chazal, a Chalutza Lamaisa is Pasul Midrabbanan. So Ratzu L'Post, well, these Edom wanted, intended, sat down and planned out to pass all this person Midrabbanan. That's true. Ula Haziko. And they wanted to damage him, because the bottom line is, this guy henceforth won't be able to be Ovid in the base of Mikdash, won't be able to eat Truma. The guy, Lamaisa, was affected by their Edom. They messed him up. Shapir Laki Minatara. So why can't you get Malkus D'Oraisa for that? The Mali Yimrotu Lafsido Mamon Shiyesh Bodin Azam Minatora. O Mali What difference should it make, the Aruch Liner asked, if they were coming to make him lose money, $50, $100, $1 million, whatever it is, or they were coming to pastel the guy, midrabanan? The bottom line is, the exact same way that the Torah recognizes the damage caused to a person by the ambiguous concept of making him lose money. In other words, the Torah doesn't think that, I'm just using me and Tzvi as an example, that I owe Tzvi X amounts of money, right? But if the Edom walked in and lied and said, I owe him money, right? And they quoted Edom's omen, they wanted to mess me up, they wanted to damage me, okay, very nice, now they have to pay what they were planning on doing to me, then it's over here. The bottom line is, I'm getting affected by this. If I'm getting affected, that's called a Zama, and the Edom should be deserving of Malchus, and why not? Okay. So basically, what we just saw over here is that the Kiva Eger and the Aruch Liner have provided for us a background to understand the Shita of the Rambam and of the Nimuki Yosef, which again, very, very quickly is what? Take it away, Nachum. Nimuki Yosef and Rambam both are probably coming along and saying what? You're going to get Malchus because... Midoraisa, you get Malchus according to Mukiyosef and the Rambam. So first of all, you violated Losana. You definitely lied in the bed. And second of all, he's still taking something away. Despite the fact that it's not a Torah view to Onesh, Malchus or Mis or whatever it is, but you're affecting the person, right? Then again, as the Aruch Liner gives a very, very relevant example, right? When I say that he owes somebody else $1,000 and he didn't, I'm affecting him. So good, so I get Hazama for that. Right, so I affected him like this. I said he's Pasul Midrabanan. That should still count as a Hazama Daraisa. I messed him up on whatever level. And why wouldn't there be Hazama? Right, so that's the sheet of the Rambam and the Nimuki Yosef. Yeah.
That's kind of a seemingly a weak comparison, because
true, but the bottom line is, right, and I think this is what he's driving at, there's a very, very strong common denominator, and that is that when I mess people up, when I damage them and affect them, there is a concept of Azama. Have I ruined this person? I ruined him.
I don't see that if you compare. I mean, there is a difference. I don't see a major difference between comparing that Zerabana case to Zerabana. I don't
understand why. Is the guy affected by the Eidos?
Yes.
Is his life drastically changed because of this? Right. That means, did the Edom mess me up?
Yes.
Okay. Why? But that's exactly what he's arguing. Why?
You think that's just that. But the comparison, what you think, I understand.
Again, because look at the Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Aruch Liner. That's what the riches why stuck them together as some kind of a combination. You lied in a bed. Right? The bottom line is you lied. Like I said before, emes and sheker are absolute. Despite the fact that you lied about it, you lied. Right? It was an eidah sheker that was there in the bed. The eidah sheker had a result. It did result in somebody being messed up. And now you're looking at it and saying, yeah, but mammon is a concept that exists in the Torah. Whether it's $100 because I borrowed, whether it's $50 that I stole, whether it's 50 shekel because I did whatever it was. It doesn't matter. Those are concepts, right, that exist according to the Torah. But the bottom line is, when it comes to whether it's specific amounts, etc., right, the amounts and the details are not recognized in the Torah. So says the Aruch Liner, the same thing should be true over here. The fact that you Edom Zom have $75, now you have 50 and they have 100, right? Because we affected him each on our own individual level. So over here, I have done something to the person. You're pasul lavoda midrabana, but you're pasul lavoda. Okay, so why did I get messed up because of that? I lied and I affected you. Right? So the real question that we want to deal with, and I'll take everyone else's question just right now after that, the real question obviously we want to try to figure out over here though, is to try to explain a little bit better the Shita of the Ritva and of the Ramban. Why exactly is it that the Edom Zomim are not going to be counted as true Edom Zomim in Midoraisa? Yeah. What are we going to try to figure out? Right? How are they going to argue with that? Right? What's bothering them? Why isn't on these points that were just made fairly obvious and pashut, which the Gedolei Achronim definitely seem to take it like that? The question to me.
Why is it that Isn't
there
a man saying that they don't get
malchus
at all, even
during
Rabbanon? That's
the
fastest,
yeah.
No, that he doesn't get anything.
Right.
Oh, so he's not in the same category as the
Rizvah. Huh?
He's not?
The Rizvah doesn't take his malchus to Rabbanon either. We don't know.
I thought he's saying
that again. Rizvah says he's possible mid the Rabbanon, so you don't get the malchus in the Mishnah. Does that mean you get malchus to Rabbanon or not? The Rizvah doesn't really say. The fastest is you don't get anything. You're not in any zone.
Then we'll put in the same category as Benedutim and Achusha because they're often put together.
Right. That just means, as he says, it's a shigras lashon, it's a turn of phrase, but don't build anything on it. Don't to be bothered by that. Okay, so we're going to throw out right now. Let me say throw out means is a bad expression. We're going to present and discuss three different options right now. How to explain the shitas of the Ramban and of the Ritva. One of them we're going to partially throw out at least and reject, but we go. Two of them are certainly going to last. Pretty decent with you. And they're going to go like this. And a lot of what we're going to be discussing right now, today in particular, the next couple of shiurim are going to be a layoff from Shmuel a little bit, but today, a little still, we're going to be dealing with an idea from Rav Shmuel and some of these points. And I'm not just, instead of just getting into this point, that point, the next point, just be aware a lot of the things that we're discussing, but not all, are, what do you call it, or ideas from Rav Shmuel Rizovsky. We say like this. The one possibility over here, but to try to focus on a little bit of Rabbi Kiva Eger's question. You violated Los Ana, why shouldn't there be a regular din of Hazama for such a thing? You should get Malkus because you lied in the bed. Okay. So perhaps you could suggest right now that you have a machlokas. Again, I have to try to follow this point here, that we have a machlokas, how to understand at what it takes to actually violate the isn or the lav of Losan. What does that mean? I violated the Losan. Is that Aaron over there? That's that also? Son? 19, where it's blowing? Okay, wow. What do you call it? So the point we're going to try to figure out now again is how to try to define and understand what exactly the Losan is all about. How does a person violate Losan? Okay? Now, one clear understanding, this is clear that Rabbi Kiva Eger is learning like this when he asks his question over here, that Losan is plain and simply violated when a person lies in a bezdin, like we described before. Is it MS? If the answer is no, then that person has violated Losan. Adam come along and testify falsely, then they violated the Isra Losan. Rabbi Kiva Eger points out, why shouldn't there be malchus? Okay, that clearly... Oh, whatever it is, we're almost at anyway. The truth is, that clearly, right, is going to be your most obvious and gut reaction understanding of what the Losan is all about. Okay, but the truth is, there's a very different approach that could be taken over here to understand Losan as well, and that's going to work as follows. The perhaps the focus, and I think you'll hear this story very simply when we suggest it. The focus of Losan is not the lie itself. Okay? I lied in a bezdin, and therefore I violated the Losan. But when the Torah comes along, and particularly asters me to lie in a bezdin, don't be a false witness. Okay, meaning to say, as opposed to classically the famous pasuk in Chumash, me devar sheker tirachos. The Torah always warns a person not to lie and not to say a sheker. The fact that there's an additional lav in a bezdin, losana breacha, a shav, a sheker, depending on the pasuk that you're quoting, perhaps with the particular focus of that lav is not the lie as much as the result, what comes out of that lie. In other words, the aid violates the Losan, and not because he lied, but because something happened because he lied. There was an outcome, there was a result over there. Okay? If that's the case, that the Torah, when it speaks to Adam, don't come and lie in a bezdin, meaning to say, we don't want wrong halachos, wrong outcomes, incorrect piskei din coming out of your eidos, okay? It's very, very important to then come and ask, what in fact is the concept, what in fact is the status of lies about, or of eidos sheker, about dinei derabbanan, meaning to say as follows. Let me give you an example, okay? There's a very, very well-known comment of the Nesivos, probably the most famous Nesivos in the entire sefer. The Nesivos found this in Reish Lamed Daled. When the Nesivos says as follows, if I throw it with that? Oh, very good. There you go. Take it away. You know, elaborate since you nailed it on the head.
Definition of the Torah is based on a natural. It's not like inherently possible.
Okay, beautiful. Again, I'm going to change the words a little bit to fit a little bit better with what the Nesivos actually says, but you definitely got the idea. Definitely got the idea then. But the Nesivos has a very, very, very famous principle, where he says as follows, and I'll say the idea, then I'll give you the example that he uses to illustrate the idea, where the Nesivos, again, Reish Lamed Daled, says the following yisod, that an Ister Derabbanan, by definition, is the real Ister is not the particular action that the person is doing, and the Rabbanon certainly don't have the ability to Aster a Cheftza, a particular item doesn't become Aster, but an Ister the Rabbanon, the Ritzvah says, in its Yesod, in its concept, is basically that the Chazal, or the Torah rather, comes along and tells us, we don't want you to disobey the Chazal. That's all that it is. The Ister the Rabbanon means, when Chazal say something, we don't want you to violate. And if I come along and say, well, when I violated an Isser Derabbanan, right? And then he asks, what did you do wrong? What I did wrong was not that I ate the piece of meat that was Isser Derabbanan. When I had the chicken and the cheese, what did I do? Basar b'chalav. No. What did you do wrong? What you did wrong was, you went against Chazal. And every little example, out of the myriad of examples of Derabbanan that Chazal came along and asked, the answer is always the same to the question, what did you do wrong? You didn't do Basa B'cholav wrong, you didn't do a Chilul Shabbos Derabbanan. What did you do wrong? We violated Chazal. And therefore, the Nesivos gives a very, very simple illustration. This is the main topic that we're speaking about over there. The question of an Ister Derabbanan B'shogeg. You accidentally violated an Ister Derabbanan. And the Nesivos has a very interesting chiddush, where he says that come Rosh Hashanah, come Yom Kippur, come Shiva Aser, Vatam is itself. You don't even have to do tshuva for that. When you accidentally violated the Derabbanan, you accidentally ate chaylev, ate an avela, turned the light on Shabbos, you got to do tshuva for an accidental avela. You did something wrong. The action itself was Aser. The chesta of the chaylev is Aser. You did something wrong. But says the Nesivos, when you accidentally violated the Rabbanan, you didn't really do anything wrong. If the whole idea of the Rabbanan is what, one more time, don't rebel against Chazal. Well, did I rebel when it was an accident? I didn't even realize what was happening? No, I didn't do anything. It was totally beyond my understanding. I had no idea. There was no ill intent in the slightest bit. You didn't do anything wrong. No tshuva, no problem. Don't worry. Let's take that idea and come back to us, and we'll take the questions in a moment. Let's just get the story that we want to try and say over here. Perhaps now we could come along and say as follows. When the Eidim come and say, this person is a Ben Chalusa, he's a Cholol Midrabbanan, one can now ask the same exact question, right, about this Cholol Midrabbanan we were discussing now with the Nesivos. What does that mean, he's a Cholol Midrabbanan? This person himself has a shame, has a status Midrabbanan as a Cholol. Or would we come along and say, no. The Rabbanan can't come along and make a person, as a person, into a challah. What they can do is, and this is an expression we used last week, that's why the terms are all important, they build upon each other, there can be a din hanhaga. What did a din hanhaga mean again? Din hanhaga meant that we place a certain practice. How do we deal with him? How do we relate to him? He's not a challah, but we treat him as if he's a challah. We deal with him, we relate to him as if he's a challah. Is he a challah? No. Even the Derabbanan, is the gavra, is the person, has he been given a status as a challah? No. One more time, what is it? All it means is that we treat them, they're on hugos, like a challah. He can't work in the base of mikdash, no truma. We have all the external trappings, but not an actual change to the person's status himself. Now, if that's the case, let's come back to Losana, and then we'll tie up this this idea. Maybe we can suggest the following thing. Perhaps we could say, if Losana basically means not the lie, don't lie in Bezdin, but rather what Losana means is, we don't want, the Torah doesn't want you to say something wrong in the Bezdin that's going to have a negative result to somebody else, to affect, to change, etc. Perhaps the halacha comes along and would say like this. Well, you tell me that this guy's a Ben Chalutza, there's been no result that's there, no change, no personal status issue that's been affected in the slightest bit. It's true that from now on we're going to treat you like a Chalal, but that's a how do we say it? An external behavior pattern that's there, but we haven't changed you. You haven't been affected. Lusana v're'acha eid shav. The re'acha, the friend, has not really been affected as a person in the slightest bit. Yes, from all around, we're going to treat him differently. But perhaps, again, this is the key point of the suggestion, the Ritva and the Ramban are going to come along and tell me that we cannot make a person in a zome that's violating the Israel Losana Breyacha Eid Shav if on any way, shape, or form level there's not been any direct effect to the person qua a person. His status wasn't changed, nothing as his shame, his personal status hasn't been changed in the slightest bit. Okay, so you can't have Losana on such Losana itself wasn't even violated. In such a case, you can't have a zama for such a thing. Which would mean now the key point of contention would be, right, that the Mukiyose from the Rambam would be telling us, what do you mean? Lo sana, you lie in the bezdin, you bother the person, it's you've affected, etc. Good, so you become an eid zomer. Perhaps though the Ritva and the Rabbana are arguing, no, that is not enough. That's not enough. Yes, he's been affected. Yes, he's been bothered. Yes, his life stinks from now on. He's lost all his opportunities as a Kohen. But to violate the particular, the lumdus of the Losana, there has to have been something that's been attached and affixed on the shoulders of the person himself whom you've testified against. That hasn't happened. Again, according to that construct that we built, that understanding of the Rabbanon, if that hasn't happened, good, the Losana wasn't violated. Yeah. Well, first we'll tell me what the difference between Alav and Natar is, and I'll answer your question. And in the Gemara, as far as I know, again, I could be totally wrong with this, but my education to date has always been that an Azhara is just the Gemara's buzz way of saying Alav. The same exact thing.
Same thing?
I think so. Yeah, to the best of my knowledge, if you can show me that that's not true, then I would be glad to be corrected. But I think that that is true. What I'm saying. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't totally hear. Pashas is no. The Pashas says there's no malchus. Right. So the response back to that is that we're also disagreeing with the question of Aruch Lanier. In other words, no, Hazam is not, you did something bad. If you didn't violate the Lo Sana, then there's no Hazama.
So are we supposed to understand Aruch Lanier
then? Huh?
Are you supposed to understand Aruch Lanier? Are you just going against
his explanation? Then that's exactly my focus. His way of looking at things is, right, is that once you've lied, the Lo Sana is the lie itself, not the result that comes out of that lie. The bottom line is you lied, so great, you're an Eid Zomer. It was the Aruch Lanier and the Kveger and the Rambam and the Muki Yosef, according to this chapter, all going to say that Losana is violated as soon as you're lying, regardless of the results and what comes out of it. Okay. Now the one question that we want to ask of you, the guys finished up the entire sheet right now, or no, because we're running a little bit late. Guys, did not finish? Okay. The one question that we have, though, on this Mahalach, is based on a comment of the Ramban himself, and that's why this is very, very important, because it's the Ramban speaking, and it's Peter Shovion Chumash. The Ramban writes as follows. Now let's remember, we were trying to explain the Ramban and the Ritva, but the Ramban writes like this, a one-liner. Diyur v'losana v're'acha eit shav is lesser lahoyed al chaveiro. There's an iser to testify about your friend. Afilu dover she'eino klum, even if it's a zero, below yischayiv al klum a bezin, even if the friend is not going to be chayiv anything in a bezin. But if you lied about your friend, you violate losana. Kigon Shiyad, if you testify, Omer Plonin Lithain Azem Mana, below Kanamiyad. If you come and testify, I saw my friend say that he was going to give a certain amount of money to his friend and they didn't make a kinyan. In other words, nothing can even happen. It wasn't even an absolute promise, not binding. It doesn't matter that Ramban says you lie about somebody in the Bezdin. That's Lo Sana. Kishav, the word shav means a dover, batel, a meaningless zero, and therefore the Ramban says any lie that's done against somebody else in a bezin is an automatic violation of Lo Sana. The problem is, though, obviously, with that is now we just realize the Ramban does not hold like we're claiming the Ramban holds. He says black on white that that's not true. So our pshat might be good, now to try to break this down to get a little flowchart here, our pshat might be good for the, get the name. For the Ritva, that could be fine. But the Ramban, we clearly see, does not hold like that Mahala. So let's see if we can figure out something else. So fortunately, there happens to be a comment in Milchemes Hashem in Sanhedrin, Yutes Amar Aleph. Milchemes Hashem, of course, being authored by no less a person than the Ramban himself. So fortunately, there's another comment, and I mamish totally out of context, but trust me, it doesn't really make a difference so much for here. But if you want, check it up in Sanhedrin. Drops a line that is probably very, very relevant to us and understanding our Ramban over here as well, which of course works out perfectly because the Ramban right now is the shita that we're having a little bit of a difficulty trying to understand. The Ramban writes the following line. This is going to take a little bit of analysis over here to get down properly and build a machlokas around. Says the Ramban, the ain Adim Zomimim Lokim be Akimat Piyam Bilvad. The Adim Zomimim do not get Malkus just from moving their lips. In other words, the lie, the fact that they said something wrong, that is not what brings about the punishment for the Hazama. Ela im Kain Hirshiyu Tzadik. That's the beautiful formulation of the Ramban. When do you get Malkus as an Adim Zomim? What has to take place? Give me the phrase, you have to have Yeshiyu Tzadik. They have to have made a Tzadik into a Rasha. Convicted somebody, done something to somebody that should not have been. The lie, the Akimas Piyam, the moving of the lips, the saying falsehood in the Bezin is not what counts. Yeshiyu Tzadik, that's where it's at. Now, here the Ramban might come along and say as follows. Let's match two Lashonas of the Ramban together. Look back at the Ramban in our Mishnah. Okay, you see this is Mamish poetry in motion over here. Says the Ramban, Hoditzran ben chalutza lav davka. Lav davka. The chalutza de Rabbanani. Umin haTorah, this is a key phrase. Umin haTorah kosher. The guy's kosher. Eich lokin ha'etarabayim. The guy midaraisa is still kosher. How could we give him Malkus? You see that line in the Ramban, in light of the Ramban in Sanhedrin, in the Milchamos, like I said, Mamish poetry in motion, beautiful. The Ramban's focus is not, did you lie, did you whatever it is. The guy, Midaraisa, is a kosher person. How could you give that guy Malkus? How do we understand that? Because the Ramban himself in Sanhedrin says, what's the ikar of the Hazama? The fact that you've made a tzaddik, or we're going to he's a different phrase, a kosher person into a Russia. Now, the Ramban is going to come along over here and say like this. Okay, I'll just get back to our, to finish up the picture. Bottom line is, the Torah looked at this person still as a tzaddik. The person is still kosher, midaraisa. That idea that you've changed him, midarabana, right? Let's assume even for a second that there has been a status change on in the Rabbani, even if we don't want to learn, like we were saying before. Whatever you've done to that person, but the bottom line is, the person in the eyes of the Torah is still on that little barometer, on that measuring scale that's there, is still considered a kosher. He's still considered a tzaddik. The requirement of Hirshiyu, tzaddik, has not been achieved, has not been met. Says the Ramban, you can't give a guy malchus for such a thing. Now, the other Rishonim, like the Rambam, the Nemukei Yosef, can argue on a couple of different points at this stage in the game. First of all, they could argue that the punishment for Azama is not because of the result of the Azama, but rather because of the
lie.
Because of the lie in the Bezin, like Rabbi Akiva Eger was asking. You lied, the bottom line is you get malchus. Or one could argue that they perhaps have a debate about how do we define what's called Hirshiyu, Tzaddik. Maybe they'll come along and say, listen, no, I understand the guy is only a has only been affected mid the Rabbanon, he's been changed. That's true, but maybe the bottom line is you affected the guy. If you affected the person, then that's enough to create a Hazama. It's the Ramban that's coming along and arguing that two things are missing. Number one, the law is not what's important. That's not the Akimas PM Dilvad is not going to make them into Eidim Zomim. It has to be your Shiyu Tzadik, the person has had to have been changed. And secondly, according to Ramban, changing the guy on a Durabana level doesn't make the grade. I'm sorry, you just can't become an Eid Zomim for such a thing. Yeah. No, so all we, that's exactly the point. If you look at all the Ramban it tells you over there in Chumash that Losan is violated for any law whatsoever. That's very, very nice. Now we want to know though, okay, what does it take to become an Eid Zomim though? So the other Ramban in Sanhedrin tells me an Eid Zomim is not the law, right? The Eid Zomim is the result, right? He or she said something had to have changed, right, in order to make the guy an Eid Zomim. Says the Ramban over here by us in Makkah, right? Changing the guy on a Dirabanan level, when the Torah still looks at him as a total kosher person, can result in Hazama. Right? In other words, the Hazama is not for the lie, despite the fact that any lie is still going to be usher to do. Right? You violated Losana, but you're not going to be, you can't become an Eidomit, right? But you can't become an Eidomit for such a thing. And again, just to finish up the point, the other Rishonim, namely the Muki Yosef and the Rambam, could argue on any one of those points. They'll say, no, the Hazam is because of the Losana. You're telling me there's Losana? Good. So you're going to get that. That becomes an Eidomim at that stage in the game. Or they might argue about what's called being Marshia a Tzaddik, maybe a Drabbanan level psul is still called Yimestagaya, and that's enough for the Hazama. And we're still left with, again, the Lumdus possibility, at least within the Ritva, of saying that the Ritva might hold, like we suggested before, that the bottom line is that there hasn't been any change to the person whatsoever, and the Mela, maybe even Losana itself wasn't violated according to that way of looking at what Losana is as a result, as opposed to just the lie in the bed. Okay, we're pretty late over here, so we got to plow at it. Any questions on that point before we move there? Is that clear? Good, let's get at it. Says the Minchasina, Mitzvah Mitzvah. One more Mahalach. Right now we pretty much covered all our bases, but the truth is there might be a very another simple pshat over here to explain the machlokas, and this is a very important yisod in Hazama as well. I'm going to do the Minchas Chinuch inside. I have a feeling most people didn't do it. Did everyone do it yet inside?
Yeah.
Yeah? Let me do it quick. Reising the Ksos HaChosh and Simila Mechesiv Kandal. The Minchas Chinuch calls the Ksos. The Ksos is Nistapeg Vim Shnei Eidem Eidush Nisnaseh Yeinu Shal Echer V'Huzmo. Yeah, two people testified this guy's wine became Yayin Nesef. It's also Behana. Basically, what I've done is taken the guy's wine away from me. He has no wine. The wine became Yayin Nesef and Asa. And then he become Eidim Zomim. Do I have to pay you back for the wine that I wanted to make you lose? Now, the wine is okay now. We feel like the wine is fine. It's sitting in your house. Just open the bottle, chug it. It's fine. Do I have to pay you, though, for the fact that I did something to you, even though Lamais it has no long-lasting effects anyway? In the Chuyav and the Shine Dime Hayayin Mikash Yazam. Mo Efshar, maybe the Ksos argues, Kevin Dechtiv, Lassos Le'ochiv. It says that you have to do something to your friend. V'kan Ein Me'idim L'chayiv Ish, we weren't testifying to do anything to you. Rak Alayayin Heimim Me'idim. We're testifying of the wine, and maybe there's no Azama for such a thing. Umevi Rayim Yisenedim Davyudim He'idu Shaploni Rabbi Shor Shaploni Mishamlin Dimei Ashor. The Gemara Sanhedrin has a din that if I testify that this person was Roveya, had slept with another person's shore, the act also, not only did everyone violate an Isser over here, but the act becomes Asir Bihana, has to be killed. After, I have to pay you for the shore. If we became an Eid Zomim, after Misadeh al Ashor below a Bala Ashor, despite the fact that I'm testing about the animal, not about the owner, Bikumakum Chayavim, and Hachinami Sotu by the wine at Kan Lashon. Says the Minchas Chinuch, I totally disagree. Believe me, my heart is questioning, is not comfortable with that. And as he says at the end, a very stronger line, he says, it says, Borer Mitzad Asvari, says at the very last line. It's clear to me logically that this Ksos cannot be true. Says the Minchas Chinuch, I personally think that when it comes to what we call Isser Veheter, kashrus questions, ritual things, You cannot have a concept of kasher zama. And the Menachas Chinuch poses a very, very simple svara why that's true. And then I'll explain as we're going on. What was the svara of the Menachas Chinuch? Remember what he said? Why, in these kind of cases, can there not be kasher zama? Okay, beautiful. Says the Menachas Chinuch like this. We learned the halacha, the truth is, we discussed this last week already, that in order to have hazama, there has to be something called a gemar din. The Beis Din has to offer a psak. You don't become an edomim until the psak has been rendered by the Beis Din. Okay? Now, the Menachas Chinuch points out that in the world of halacha, you have very different kinds of areas, right? In the areas that require a Beis Din, there are many, many formalities before a Beis Din can render a psak. Adam testifying in the Bezdin. The court has to listen to the case during the day. The Psak have a certain amount of people that are there on the Bezdin, depending on the kind of case that is going to be. The Psak has to be off. In many cases, the Psak has to be rendered by daytime as well. You have to have people that aren't related. They have all the different trappings of what goes into a Bezdin. That's called a Psak. The Bezdin has given a Psak. They've given a ruling that was there. They have given a Psak. The Menachas Chinuch points out, when it comes to Isser Veheter questions, okay, where we all know, you go to the rabbi, and the rabbi, or anyone who knows what to do, what do I do? Can I eat today on Shabbat Sivatam? When I forgot on Neinu, what do I do? When I did this, what happens there? Can I do this on Shabbos? Can I do this on a Yom Tov? Etc., etc., etc. Why don't you have to have all of those different trappings with the bezin by day, and I have relatives and testimony, all that stuff? Why don't you have to have those things? Because the Beis Din is not creating a psak. The Beis Din is not issuing a ruling. All you really need to know in those kinds of cases is quite simply the basic question of, what do I do? So the truth is, all you really need to know is, sit down and learn Shulchan Aruch and you figure out for yourself what to do. Why do you go to the rabbi? Let's all admit this right now. You go to the rabbi because you are a fool, right? You don't know anything. So if you knew what to do, you wouldn't have to bother with the rabbi. But you're a fool like the rest of the world. So you go and you try to ask somebody who knows more than you, right? And they'll tell you what to do. But the truth of the matter is, all the rabbi is doing is saying, oh, I remember because I read the book and the book says to do this. So good. This is what you're supposed to do. It's not a psak. He uses the expression, a very, very important word in learning called a hora. What does hora mean literally? To teach, right? What am I doing when I give the hurrah? I'm teaching you the rule. Now you know the rule also, the same way I do. That's all you have to know. What do I do in this circumstance? So says the Menachas Chinuch like this. Since the Gemara learns, and here we have a major machlokes now. Since the Gemara learns in that pay that in order to have azama, there has to be a psak given by a Beis Din, right? And there's no azama until the psak was there. Says the Menachas Chinuch, in areas where there's no concept of a psak and a Beis Din, it's just a hurrah, teaching given by a chacham, by a rav, etc., there can't be a zama. Why can't there be a zama? Because there was never a gemar din. There was never a psak that was given. You can only have a zama, the Menachas Chinuch says, excuse me, in areas that require a psak, a formal ruling by a Beis Din. Now, very nice. That's the sheet of the Menachas Chinuch. The Ksos on the other end, obviously, and it should be obvious to one and all, totally disagrees with that. According to Ksos, it is totally tenable that you can have Hazama in the realm of Isser Veheter as well. He had his question, does it matter that I'm not testifying like the person, I'm only testifying like the food, or the shore, or the yeah, all that. But the bottom line is, according to the Ksos, we don't care that there's no Sack, there's no Gemar Din in the Beis Din. You were lying in the Beis Din, you affected the other person, etc., etc., etc. Great. So then you're going to have Hazama if you get caught as an aid zomim. Right? That's the bottom line according to the Ksos. So let's rephrase now the Machlokas Ksos and the Menachas Chinuch. According to the Ksos, you can have Hazama even in Isser Veheter areas. I don't care that there's no Gemar Din of a Beis Din. I, the Gemara, says in that phase that you can only have a Zama after a Gemar Din. That's true. But the Ksos is going to tell you that's only in those areas where a Gemar Din is relevant. When you need a Beis Din, so again, they don't have a Zama until the Beis Din did its thing. In areas where you don't need a Beis Din, if you said your thing, you said this guy's wine became trade, good, you messed him up, you can become an Eid Zomim for such a thing. The Minchas Chinuch again is totally denying that. No, there has to be a Gemar Din and a Bez Din, and any case that does not have a formal Gemar Din categorically is removed, is excluded from the concept of Hazama. For example, Isser Veheter, as discussed over there. What in the world does that have to do with us? I think I'm running late, so we're going to try to do this quickly right now. That has absolutely everything to do with us as follows. We could come along now and say like this. The Shitas that hold that a Ben Chalutza is not included in our Mishnah, the Ritva and the Ramban. How can you have Hazama on a Ben Chalutza? The person is kosher, midaraita, and all of that. They might come along and say as follows. Listen, like the Shita of the Minchas Chinuch, in order to be able to have Hazama, there has to be a Torah-recognized Gemar Din, a Psak that's given. They might come along and say, listen, since the Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza, right, according to the Torah, is kosher anyway. There's no such case in the Torah. There's no issue of a Bez Din making a guy paskining, he's a Ben Gerusha, a Ben Chalutza, excuse me. There's no such thing. So even when the Bez Din says, you're a Ben Chalutza, is that a recognized sack of a Bez Din? No, the Torah doesn't recognize such. It doesn't exist at all. There is no psak din that was ever given on such a case. Now the Bezin said you're a Ben Chalutza, they pass it. But on the Torah level, such a thing doesn't exist. So therefore, like the Minchas Chinuch, you might come along and claim, how can you have Hazama? The Hazama is only Shayach when there was a Gemar Din, when there was a psak. There was no psak. There are Rabbanon here, but the Torah doesn't reckon. You can't have a Zama. The rice, you cannot have a Zama, such a thing. The other Rishonim, like the Muki Yosef and the Rambam, might argue like the Ksos HaKoshen does. A Psak, okay, that is true when you have cases that need the form of Psak, but there is such a thing as a Zama, even in cases where you don't need a Bezin to offer a formal Gemar Din. Now, the Ksos speaks about Kashrut, but this might be relevant to us also. Did the Torah recognize the Gemar Din on this guy over here who became a Ben Chalutza? No, it doesn't. Does that matter? Maybe not. Maybe we don't care that there was no Gemar Din on the person at all. And you can still become an Eid Zomim, the Daraita. So that was our third version of the Machlok. The bus is running late. I don't want to take away from a Blackman's time. It's only very good to run back to the Beis Medrash right now. And this is him tomorrow, moving on with the next step.